Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Tonight, if you want to get out your Bibles and open to 1 Peter chapter 5, just get it ready. We're not going to go there just yet. But tonight, we're going to be talking about cares. We've all got things that we care about in life, yeah? And so if you are a musician, one of the things that you probably care about is your instrument. Yeah, your instrument is probably one of your most prized possessions that you have. Deb is nodding very hard at me right now. And so, for example, like I know that Andy mentioned in his sermon a couple of weeks ago, the relationship that he has with his guitar and like these Helix boards that these guys have over here, the way that they talk about them and care for them, it's like they're actually children. But for me, the same thing goes with my keyboard. I really care about my keyboard. I got it at the end of 2016. It was not cheap. And I'd saved up a lot of money until finally I was in a position to be able to buy the one that I want. And so once I got it, I was so excited and I was so proud of myself because like I'd worked and I'd saved and I had this keyboard. And so anyway, I was a youth leader at the time and I decided to take my keyboard with me to summer camp. And Andy and Sky are laughing because they already know the story I'm about to tell. And it was the first night of camp, and Nick was leading an altar call, and I was playing. And it was that nice end of the night, flowy, soft music. And while I was playing, my keyboard stand suddenly broke in the middle of the altar call, and my brand new keyboard, my pride and joy that I had worked for, went crashing to the ground. And I was just left standing there in disbelief at what had just happened. And everybody in the room just had this look of horror on their face because they all knew how much I loved this keyboard. And thankfully, it was okay. And we got it back and we fixed it. And we bolted the stand in place. But the thing is, after that, I wasn't really able to concentrate for the rest of the weekend. And for the rest of camp, I wasn't really able to worship freely. I wasn't able to play as freely as I normally can because I was just had my mind focused on whether or not my keyboard was going to go crashing back down to the ground. And even if I wasn't the person who was playing, even if someone else was playing the keyboard during worship, I was just like standing there, just like watching it, ready to like run and catch it if it fell down again. So I no longer trusted the stand to support the weight of the keyboard. And so after camp, pretty much as soon as I was able to, I chucked out the old stand and I got a new one and things have been fine ever since. It's a much better stand. But I care about my keyboard, yeah? So we care about stuff. We can care about things like keyboards. And then there are slightly more important cares that we can have. You know, things like your family and your friends and your job, finances, your health, education. Then we've got inward cares. Cares about your identity and, you know, how you can care about what other people think about you, cares about what you may or may not have done in the past. And then we've got these more global cares. And you turn on the news and you see coronavirus case numbers and wars and, you know, politics and Will Smith punching people at the Oscars and like natural disasters. And we just don't know how to feel about all these things that we're seeing, that we're told to care about. And so all these cares just get handed to us. And so often we can just go through life just gathering cares. And we just, throughout our day, we go and we just pick them up and we add them to our ever-expanding collection of like, here are all my cares. And the thing is, with cares, it's good to care about things, but cares, when they are mishandled, can turn into anxieties. And behind every stress and anxiety, there is a deeper care that is fueling it. And so my concern about the strength of my keyboard stand came out of my care that I had for my keyboard, yeah? And so for a more real-world example for you guys, so if, for example, you're a student and you're studying for an exam and you get stressed and anxious, it's because you care about your final grade. And if you are getting stressed about your finances, it's because you care about your family and being able to provide for them. There's a care that is fueling it. And so, where am I up to? So caring is not in itself wrong. Caring for and looking after what God has given you is not wrong. That is actually good stewardship. And on that camp, my concern about my keyboard stand took away from me my ability to engage with what was happening in the meetings. Because when you allow your cares to become anxieties and your anxieties to dictate your thoughts and your actions, you're allowing yourself to be robbed from walking in the freedom that Jesus won for us. And so in a world that is full of cares, what do we do? Well, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 to 7. It says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your cares on him, because he cares about you." Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much for the opportunity we have to come and to gather together under your name, to spend time in your presence. And as we unpack your word, as we look at what it means to cast our cares on you, Lord God, I just pray that it would not be something that we just brush aside, but that it would become fresh revelation to us, Lord God, that it would be a seed that we can plant down in our hearts and draw from in those times. So I just pray that your words would speak through me, and we just give you all the glory and ask you to go before for us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So cast your cares on him because he cares about you. So a lot of you probably know this verse already. If you grew up in church, it was probably a memory verse that you had in Sunday school at some point in time. And it is one of those ones that can just become so familiar that we just sort of gloss over it. Cast your cares on him because he cares about you. But what does that actually look like? What does that mean? How do we do that? And tonight we're going to unpack this a little bit, because the process of casting your cares on him is not as throwaway as we can sometimes treat the instruction. It's not as it's not as flippant as we can sometimes treat the verse. And in preparing for this message, one of the commentaries that I read said, "God did not make his children carefree in order that they be careless." And so I've titled my message tonight, "Carefully Carefree." Because when it comes to casting our cares, it is not a passive process, but instead it is a deliberate action. And so we need to be careful how we go about doing it. And in some translations, like the NIV, for example, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 is one sentence. One sentence. "Cast all your anxiety or your cares on him because he cares for you." So it's one sentence. But in other translations, like the one we looked at just before, it reads, "Casting all your cares on him because he cares about you." So we've gone from cast to casting. And so all we've done is we've added three letters, but those three letters actually make a really big difference and are really important in our understanding of the scripture, because suddenly we don't have a whole sentence anymore. We have only half a sentence. And so in order for us to fully understand this idea and this concept of casting our cares on him, we have to walk back to the beginning of the sentence to see what the entire thought actually is. So we're going to walk back to verse 6. And the first half of the sentence is, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your cares on him because he cares about you." So it actually starts with "humble yourselves." Who's excited to humble themselves? Who wakes up in the morning and is like, "Yes, I'm really excited. I get to be humble today." Anyone? No, we're not overly excited about that. And I think no one really gets excited about a sermon on humility. And I find it funny, I think that we can look at those freedom banners that we have up there and we can be like, "Yes, freedom." And then we all do like a Mel Gibson impersonation. And we hear phrases from the platform like, you know, "We're going to see God set some people free," and we get really excited. And we're like, "Yes, amen, God is going to set people free," and rightly so. Yeah, we should be excited about that. But for a moment, can we just imagine, we go back to Vision Sunday and we're unveiling the theme for the year. And instead of freedom, those boards say humility. Would we all be like, "Yeah, woohoo, humility. Really excited to see God humble some people this year"? Probably not. We probably wouldn't get quite as excited about that. And so you look at this verse and we read, "Cast your care on him because he cares about you." And we're like, "Yes, he cares about me. I needed that. Amen." And we leave and we feel encouraged. But if we go back to the start of the sentence where it says, "Humble yourselves," we're like, "Ooh, don't know how I feel about that." It changes things a little bit. We don't get quite as excited about that part of the sentence. But it's every bit as important because casting your cares is intertwined with humility. They're one and the same. And so if we are going to be carefully carefree, the first thing that we need to understand is that casting your cares is an act of humility. Casting your cares starts with humbling yourself. And for us as human beings, humility is not natural. We don't naturally have humility, and that's why in Colossians, Paul tells us that we have to put it on. It's not a natural state for us because we live in a fallen world. And instead of being humble, we want to do things for ourselves and we want to do them by ourselves because the world places value on that. And our culture celebrates independence. You know, I just think we congratulate kids when they do things for the first time, you know, like when they first walk or ride their bikes without their training wheels. And I think of who remembers the first time they went for a solo drive after they got their license without their parents. I'm getting lots of nods from this section over here. And you don't have anyone telling you what to do and you can drive as fast as you want. And it's like, yes, by myself. And we get this sense of achievement when we do things by ourselves. But when we try to carry our cares by ourselves, when we try to manage everything on our own, when we try to carry the weight of the world on our shoulders by ourselves, without God, that's not an achievement. That's pride. Because when we do that, when we insist on being the one in control, we're making the assumption that we know better than God. And I don't know what situation you might be facing tonight, but if you think that you have a better handle on it than God, than the King of Kings, than the all-powerful, all-knowing creator of the universe, I'm very sorry to have to tell you, but you don't. You don't. And for us as Christians, the goal is not to be independent, but rather to be completely and totally dependent on God. And it takes humility to cast your cares on Him, because when you do, suddenly you're not relying on your own strength anymore. You're relying on His. And it's not about doing things your way, but about doing things His way. And it takes humility to admit that you don't have all the answers. It takes humility to come before God and say, God, I'm overwhelmed and I'm in over my head. I don't know what to do, but I know you do, Lord, so I'm going to let you take it now. That takes humility. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 to 10, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, I will most gladly boast all the more about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may reside in me. So I take pleasure in weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and in difficulties for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And it's in the moments of our greatest weakness that we are strong, because it's in that moment that it's not our strength, it's God's. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God so that He may exalt you at the proper time. And how do you humble yourself? Verse 7, by casting your cares on Him. Now, cast isn't really a word that you hear too often nowadays, at least not in this context. So to cast is to throw. And I know that this morning Pastor Graham said he wasn't going to give us a Greek lesson, but if you were disappointed, don't worry. I'm going to give you one instead. There are two Greek words in the Bible for the word cast. Now, the most common one is ballo. And so this is the word that is used whenever it talks about casting lots or fishermen casting out their nets, throwing things into the fire. However, the word that Peter chooses here is the Greek word epiripto. Did I say that right, Mum? Yeah. Fun fact, my mum can speak Greek, so I checked. And so this is one of the only two occasions this word is used in the Bible. And so now both of these words, ballo and epiripto, are translated to English as cast or throw. But they're actually quite different, because ballo literally means to throw or let go of a thing without caring where it falls. So just toss things aside, just get rid of them. No care is taken. However, epiripto, the word that we've got here, means to throw upon. And now it may not seem like it, but the word upon makes a world of difference, because when you throw something upon something else, you have an intended target. You're acting with purpose. And the second thing you need to know is that casting your cares is an act of purpose. When it comes to casting your cares, Peter isn't saying just throw them aside. He's not saying cast off your cares and don't worry about where they land. But Peter gives this instruction to the church. He says, cast your cares upon him. He's actually giving you a target. He's not saying just chuck them wherever's easiest. He's telling you where to put your cares on him, on Jesus. And it's all well and good to humble yourselves and say, okay, I don't know what I'm going to do, so I'm going to cast my cares. That's great, but where are you actually casting them? You've got to be careful about where you cast your cares. And if you want to be carefree, you need to be careful about how you go about it. And when you learn how to drive a car, one of the pieces of advice that you probably got given was look at where you want to go. Look at where you want to go. Keep your eyes on where you want to go, because that is where you'll take the car. You'll naturally move the car in the way that you're looking. And so my question for you is, what are you looking at? Because that's where you're going to go. That's where you're going to turn to. And so are you looking at Jesus? Are you turning your eyes towards him, as we've been singing a lot lately? Or are you looking to other people? Are you looking to politicians? Are you looking to Netflix? Are you looking to your job? Are you looking to your phone? Because that way, if you're always connected and you don't miss it, you won't miss anything and you won't feel that step behind. Where are you casting your eyes? Because wherever you cast your eyes, that is where you will cast your cares. And now there's this app called Calm. Has anyone heard of this app? Calm app. So Calm, if you don't know what it is a sleep and meditation app. So it has like music and those guided like breathe in, hold it, breathe out sort of things. And you can listen to music and nature sounds. And you can even get celebrities, the likes of Matthew McConaughey and Morgan Freeman and even LeBron James, to read you a bedtime story. And the point of all this is that it's supposed to help you remain in or return to a state of calm. And it's supposed to help you reduce anxiety and to help you drift off to sleep. And you get to pay $70 a year for the privilege. But Calm, this app, is so popular that the company now has an estimated worth of $2 billion. And just this week was named in Time Magazine's list of the 100 most influential companies in the world. And so the Calm app was launched in 2013, and by 2019, it had been downloaded by 40 million people. So that's 40 million people in 6 years. 2020 brought a huge surge in users, and Calm's downloads increased by 150%, with a whopping 100 million people having the app downloaded on their phone. And so that was in 2020, with the biggest uptick being in March and April, because that's when the world shut down. Because people were anxious and stressed and feeling out of control. And they were watching the news and it's getting worse and worse and worse, and they don't know what to do and they just need to calm down. And apparently this app was the way to do that. But the thing with something like Calm or other places that we might be tempted to cast our cares, it's a short-term fix. Sure, it might help you relax for 15 minutes, but once Matthew McConaughey is done reading your bedtime story, you're still left carrying all your cares. You're still left trying to manage everything. Nothing has changed. Your care collection is still growing. You just happen to forget about it for a few minutes. And because I was doing some research about this app for this purpose, I started getting targeted ads for it on my social media. And one ad for this app that came up on my Instagram feed was a video of all these different 5-star customer reviews. And one of them actually made me quite sad, because one review said, this app is a refuge whenever I'm feeling sad or anxious. This app is a refuge. Can I just tell you that I know of a refuge who is so much more real and tangible and so much more powerful and so much more personal than an app on your phone? We sang about it tonight. You are my strength and my refuge. So cast your cares on him. Why? Because he cares about you. And not you as in like plural humanity, he cares about you, but he cares about you personally, individually. The good people at Calm, who will help you to think about nothing and then charge you an annual fee for it, they don't actually care about you. They care about your credit card number, but they don't actually care about you. But our God, he is not concerned with a quick fix. He's not interested in surface-level solutions. He is an intimate and personal God who deals with our cares and our anxieties at the root. And when we cast our cares on him, the relief he offers isn't temporary, but it is eternal. In John 4, Jesus says to the woman at the well, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Any other place you cast your cares, you're going to be left thirsty. But cast your cares on him, on the living water, and you'll never thirst. You've got to be careful where you put your cares, and you need to cast them purposefully. Because when we cast our cares on him, it's not just something that makes us feel better, but it's actually spiritual warfare. And in 1 Peter 5, if we keep reading, it says in verse 8, "Be sober-minded, be alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for anyone he can devour. Resist him, firm in the faith, knowing that the same kind of sufferings are being experienced by your fellow believers throughout the world." So the last thing you need to know, casting your cares is an act of spiritual warfare. And so we've just read in verse 7 that he, that Jesus, cares about you. And in the very next verse, we're reading about your adversary, your enemy, the devil. He does not care about you at all. He prowls around like a lion looking for anyone he can devour. And so how does he devour you? He'll weigh you down with cares. He'll weigh you down with cares and he'll just keep piling them on and piling them on. And he doesn't show any mercy in that. He comes in and he's like, "Oh, I see you've got a lot of cares there. You must be a cares enthusiast. I'll give you another one to add to your collection." And so the collection just keeps growing. But if you're weighed down with cares and you're allowing yourself to be burdened by the anxieties of life, you're an easier target. Because you are going to be a much easier takedown for the enemy if you're already pinned to the ground underneath all of your cares. Jesus in the gospel tells us the parable of the sower. And so the sower goes out and he's sowing some seed and the seed lands in all these different places. And one of the places that the seed lands is among some thorns. And when Jesus is explaining what this parable means, he says this in Matthew 13. "Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word." Cares of this world choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. If you don't learn how to be careful with your cares, they will destroy you. Cares unchecked will keep taking from you. They will choke you so that you become unfruitful. And they will keep demanding more. They will demand more of your attention and more of your time and more of your focus, more of your energy. And we get tired and we burn out. And the more things we carry, the more cares that we collect, the wearier we become. And so if we have this very real, relentless enemy who is prowling around trying to devour us and trying to cripple us with anxiety, what are we supposed to do? Verse 9, resist him. And how do you do that? You humble yourself and you cast your cares on him. Casting your cares is an act of spiritual warfare. It is an act of resistance. And so as we go about our day, when cares and anxieties come along, instead of picking them up and putting them on our back and continuing to carry them, we just give them straight back to God. And then the next one comes and we give that to God. And then the next one comes and we give that to God. And casting your cares becomes an act of resistance against the enemy's schemes. And so when the enemy comes at you with sickness, you take that care and you cast it on the one whose blood bought your healing. And when he comes at you with financial hardship, you humble yourself and you cast that on the one who offers divine provision. And when he comes at you with the burden of guilt and shame, because that's the thing, these cares, they don't have to be situations and they don't have to be physical things, but the feelings of guilt and shame that the enemy can throw on us, that in itself can be a care. And don't give that any time of day. Don't give that the time of day, but instead you take that and you cast it straight on the one in whom there is no condemnation. And you're like, "Yeah, that sounds exhausting. That sounds like an awful lot of care casting." Yep, it is. It is. But the instruction that Peter gives us isn't cast some of your cares on him. It's not pick and choose the ones that you think are too tricky for you and cast those and you can just hang on to some of them. It says cast all your cares on him. And so if you want to walk in the freedom that we have been talking about, in the freedom that Jesus won for you, then you need to stop carrying things that you were not designed to carry. We weren't created to bear burdens, but we were created to bear the image of God. And what I think we do sometimes is when we've got stuff going on, and we have all these cares and we bring it to God and we come before Him and we pray and say, okay, God, I'm giving this to you. I don't know what to do, God. I'm giving this to you. All to Jesus I surrender. And then once we've finished our quiet time or the song's over, we say, well, God, thanks for holding on to that for me for a little bit. I'm happy to take it back now. And then we pick up our cares and we go. We leave with them. It's like we're asking God to hold on to our cares while we're tying our shoelaces because our hands are full, and we take them back. In the Amplified Version, it says, casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, and all your concerns once and for all on Him, for He cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. Once and for all. Not for the duration of the worship set, not just during your devotion, not just on Sunday, but once and for all. So whatever burdens you've got, you go and you get in the presence of God, you lay them upon Him, and you leave them there. Don't pick them back up, you'd leave them there. And you know, we're talking about how casting your cares is not passive, it's something, it's an action, it's something that we need to be deliberate about. And so tonight, as we close, why don't you all just close your eyes? And I want you to stretch out your hands in front of you. And in doing that, I want you to just picture your cares in your hands in front of you. Whatever they may be, picture your cares in your hands in front of you. And tonight, the choice is yours. These cares that you're holding out in front of you, what are you going to do with them? Cast or carry. You can keep carrying your cares if you want. You can keep trying to navigate everything. Or you can cast your cares on Him who created the world and holds it in His hands. The choice is yours. And I know that it's hard because some of these cares that we carry around with us, we've had them for a really long time. So long that they feel like familiar friends and you've gotten used to holding on to them and just carrying them around with you. And you're not sure whether or not you can relinquish control. But I just want to encourage you and say that when we cast our cares on Him, they're not misplaced. When we humble ourselves and we cast our cares on Him, it's not a trick. You can trust Him with your cares because He cares about you, because He who promised is faithful, because the one who hopes in Him will never be shaken. Cast your cares upon Him because He cares about you. The choice is yours. Lord God, we just thank you that for everything that Jesus won for us on the cross. We thank you that all these cares that we have, all these things that the world tries to throw at us and make us carry, Lord God, we thank you that we don't have to manage that ourselves, that we can take those cares and we can give them to you, that we can take those cares and put them on the one who has already carried them for us, Lord God. We thank you for that. And where there are people here tonight who are carrying cares and there's just that struggle to give them up and just that struggle to relinquish control, Lord God, I pray that you would just reveal your kindness and you would reveal your heart to people, Lord God, that you would be able to show them that you are a good, trustworthy Father, that you are able to handle our cares, Lord God, that we don't have to worry when we come before you whether or not you'll be able to handle it, Lord God. And we thank you that there is nothing that is too small or too great that we can't put in your hands, Lord God. We thank you that when we bring our cares before you, that we don't have to then take them back on ourselves, Lord God, but that you carry them for us. We thank you, Lord God, that when we come to you, as weary and heavy laden as we may be, that we will find rest in you, Lord God. And so I pray that you would give us here the boldness and the courage and the humility to come before you and say that we don't know what to do, Lord God, so we're casting our cares upon you. We thank you for the precious blood of Jesus by which we have access to come before you and to give everything back to you. We give you all the glory and all the honor. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.